He's got my number.
It also has a Volvo out on it.
I'd like to call the December 13th meeting of Ways and Means to order. Can I get a motion to approve the following minutes of the November 9th and 15th meeting, as well as the special meetings on the 2nd, 14th, 15th, 16th, 30th, and December 5th?
So moved.
Second?
I'll second.
Okay, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Carried. Take a few out of order here. 623. Setting a public hearing on the sale and transfer of parcels in the town of Lloyd, Cottagill, and Sawgreen. Can I have a motion? Motion.
So moved.
623. Second. Discussion.
Second.
Discussion.
623. Hold on. Give me 1 second. I'm just kidding.
Transferring properties to UCM.
To the housing development board.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
Discussion. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Next one is 651, number 24 on the agenda. Approving execution of a contract amendment for $50,000 for Rail Explorer Corp.
I'll move it.
Second?
I'll second.
Discussion? Okay.
So I've been up there, and I think we got to curtail how late they go, how early they go, just by an hour or so. And I'm not satisfied with this. The rubber on the tracks. I've been up there. They've already tried it. I've seen the rubber. I don't know what it does. Doesn't seem to be viable. They're saying it is. I don't buy it. And I have a lot of questions. A lot says Brandon, the head of DPW, is supposed to oversee safety things. There's been concerns about lightning. There's been concerns about drinking. There's been a couple of accidents with the rail bikes in cars. And when the public reaches out to Brendan Masterson, he seems to not know a lot about it. So I think we have to, which, I mean, this isn't, you know, wrongdoing. It's just we have to coordinate a little better and make sure the people that live over there are taken care of a little better and have a better process. I also have a lot of questions about the contracts themselves. And I've been emailing back and forth for a while with Amber trying to figure out what's going on. So apparently we allow them, there's multiple contracts online in our system. There's two open contracts. Is Dennis here? Yeah, what is this? There's a 2018 284, 2017 116. If one of these isn't active, or are they from different areas on the tracks, did they not end up using a certain area or something?
I don't think so. I think that number one is, I think we should refer to these as permits. They're not really contracts.
Okay. They're not. They're agreements, permits.
Yeah. One of them has. One of them has to do with the issue with respect to COVID.
This says UC contract on. So.
But and the other one has to do with the original grant. And then this is the First Amendment.
First thing you said, one of them has to do with COVID?
I think there is one out there with respect to an extension as it related to COVID and payment extension with respect to COVID. There's also a side letter agreement out there relative to some fencing that they put up.
Yes, there was a letter that kind of said they could start. Now, it looks like it's in the new contract that they can deduct from what they pay if they do work on something, or if they put money into something.
There was a side letter agreement with respect to that.
But that wasn't in the original agreement.
It didn't get carried over.
But even that letter, it just signed by Brendan Masterson, the head of DPW, just signs a letter and says, all right, we're now going to allow you to deduct from the agreement that we have, that the legislature approved.
I wasn't privy to that.
But when we talked to Brendan Masterson, he doesn't seem to be too privy of much of it. So the other thing I noticed was, the way we did it was they would give us canceled checks through, and I don't know who's vetting that, we want that work done so that you can cut away from the money you owe us in the contract, but there's canceled checks so they would pay us, and then we would pay them, and they would prove that they did the work they did by giving us canceled checks, but there's certain deductions that we made that I don't see any canceled checks for, so they didn't prove. So, I mean, there's a lot of issues. It seems like nobody really knows what's going on, and on top of it, it's really loud. This particular company left a place in upstate New York. The company that came in got the Dennis, you would know what these, I hear different polycarbonate, urethane-coated wheels. It can be done. It's been done by companies similar in other places. These places are much happier with the companies that came in that were willing to put that on there. I've wanted it put into the next RFP. I don't know about this rubber. We still have the timing issues from it running rather late. There's still safety. There's still things I'm wondering about safety-wise. It does seem that some cars have been hit on one side road by a cart. So with all these things, I just like to see it pushed off a month to kind of get through some of this. If there's so many questions, like I said, even with the budget, I mean, are we, financial aspects, if we're not being, we're just taking their word and deducting, I mean, I know it's not a big contract, but we still should make sure that we're getting the right amount of money. So I was a little disappointed that we got this kind of late. It wasn't real different from the original contract, and I think we can do better for the people that live over there. And just to remind everyone, there was a similar situation up north with this company, and the elected officials up there, it sounds like, brought in a company, you know, mandated that you use the proper wheels. The sound was better. They're happy. That municipality up there is very happy with the new company, and I hope that we take the same approach and work with the community over there. In a meeting recently that Kathy was at as well, there were members of the town of Shandaken, and they seemed to be on the resident side where they were concerned about some of this. And they feel, I get the impression, they feel kind of handcuffed by the county, where the county's not really listening to them either.
Ms. Thayer Nolan?
Yeah, this was discussed at length in Public Works last night, with all of these issues being addressed. But
the financial
issues? But briefly, the wheels, the company does have the polycarbonate now on the back wheels. They tried on the front wheels, but they were unsafe. They lost connection with the track and they derailed. So they'd like to continue with the wheels they have. In addition, the section where there are neighbors who are impacted is about 1,000 feet long out of a 4-mile long corridor that the company is using. So changing, putting a sound diminishing coating on that section of track seems more reasonable than having to coat the wheels for the whole run. And the company has tried that, but they haven't tried every possible compound and adhesive that will work in that area, and that's what they want to do during this extension period. The sound also has not been measured. It is noticeable sound, but the new license requires a sound study that would be done under the direction of Ulster County and give us a baseline of where it is now, and then also the reduction in noise from the coating on the tracks. The 1-year extension would bring this license in line with the license for the Catskill Mountain Railroad, which operates on the eastern end of the section out of Kingston, and allow to go out for RFP again at the beginning of 2023. It was under the Catskill Mountain Railroad's previous permits for their use of this that the practice of reimbursing, allowing improvements in the corridor to be taken off of the lease payment came about. So there are some issues, but there's a process and they're being addressed. The 10 or 12 residents that are most impacted have spoken in many forums over many years about this, so it's not a new thing. And there are others who are very happy to have the business there, including the Phoenicia Business Association and multiple businesses in the area. And the Rail Explorers was just named Tourism Business of the Year for Ulster County. So, you know, maybe Ways and Means is the correct forum to hash out all the details, but it does seem to me that the claim that, you know, it's not being looked at or it's not being managed is not right. There are just people who don't like the way that it is being managed. And the people that I've spoken with have actually said, no, they don't want to talk to me again because I didn't agree with them after I did meet with them. So there's some point at which you just have disagreement, and I think we have reached that in some ways in regard to, you know, the use of the corridor in that segment for rail, which is what our policy dictates, and for the benefit of the county which the company is clearly doing.
Thank you. So, I want to speak to some of what each previous legislator said. I do notice that the new contract has amendments in relation to the adverse impact to county and general public, including the noise study and the testing and providing of a report on the feasibility to reduce overall noise, and a limitation on the times of operation and a quiet zone contractually, which wasn't in the previous, but the limitation on the time, meaning leaving the depot no later than 6:30, and which is more restrictive than previously. And I think that's all. I think that's good. So all of that, and again, everything I mentioned, while things may have been in practice before, these things weren't in the previous contract, so these are contractual changes. I didn't see it for myself, but I saw the video test. I got the same information that Legislator Nolan got in terms of putting, replacing both sets of wheels as presenting a safety concern in terms of being able to stay on the track. The rear wheels they talked about or have replaced, but I did see a test run on video with the plastic lining on the track, which is my understanding is one of the things that they're talking about doing is in this quiet zone laying that plastic, it may not be plastic, but laying that the whole length of the portion of the track we're talking about. And you know, again, I only saw it on a video, and I don't know if anyone else has seen it, but it is markedly and drastically different in terms of sound. It's not a minor change. It goes from that clank, clank, clank to a much quieter sound. Mm-hmm. In a minute it hits that plastic. So that's also a positive potential. I think it's very important that we get both these contracts on the same timeline, which is one of the reasons we're talking about this extension, because if we're going to ever consider the corridor as a whole or be able to consider variations on the theme of where the split is, we need to have them all on the same cycle. So I think that's very important, and that's the main reason I think we're considering the 1 year extension, is to get everything on the same cycle. And lastly, I would say to Legislator Maloney's point about the monies for some of these improvements, which are not really, in my mind, necessarily improvements to the corridor, but improvements to the businesses' ability to operate through a residential sector. I don't know that this is the first, I hadn't looked at that section of the contract, and that does give me pause, that one aspect of having that come out of a fairly modest lease anyway. So that's where I'm at the moment.
So they did it with a letter to begin with. That was weird that that we pass a contract and then there's some letter from DPW and they can start deducting, and it looks like they haven't even proven some of the deductions. That's a problem.
Did you see it? I'm sorry.
I saw the receipts, and I was lacking some of the receipts on there. So there's financial questions. There's questions about our own process with regards to entering into agreements with private companies. The time, if you, a 6:30 leave means that it's got the last pass through these neighborhoods is going to be 8:00. So I don't know if that's much different.
It's an hour different. Yeah. I mean, from the original contract, I'm looking at the original contract and it
says
9:30.
What does it say? 9:30. It says that'd be the latest that somebody could go through, 9:30.
Yeah. 9 p.m., actually, 9 p.m.
9 p.m. So we're not off by much.
But it's an hour.
It's an hour.
Yeah. That's not your house. Now, the people of this neighborhood have dealt with trains. I think Catskill Mountain or a company used to come up through there. They were fine with it. The sound was less. It was less time. This is pretty constant throughout the day, pretty much every day for months, and it's loud. And there are other companies with regards to the wheels and them saying the wheels are going to fall off. somehow other companies have done it. If we do all four with the sound, with the polycarbonate. So how are other companies around the country doing it, and they can't?
I didn't say that they said the wheels were going to fall off. I just want to be clear.
What did you say there?
The unit will come off the track.
That the unit is less stable on the tracks. That the unit could come off the track. Okay, I just want to be clear. Yeah,
but somehow they keep them on the tracks in other places around the country, other companies that literally towns have dealt with this company and other companies, and it sounds like just north of here, and this is according to individuals that are on the planning board of the town, have actually traveled up and investigated themselves and come back much happier with what they see up north. With the rubber, the residents over there took me down, and there are, you know, quite a few of them. I've met with, I think, 10 or 12 residents. And they showed me this rubber that's worn off that didn't work. They basically stopped using it. The people were struggling, pedaling through that part. So suddenly this rubber is now going to work. Like I said, I don't know what that rubber means environmentally. We don't care or want to wonder about it. So there's not a lot of evidence. I hear things. And the last thing is, when's this sound study getting done? And is it getting done in time to put it into the RFP? Because if the sound study shows that the rubber's not working, like it seems to have not worked before, and the they need the wheels, or we're at an impasse, if it's not going to be in the RFP for the next contract, then that's a problem, isn't it? What are we going to do? Cancel at that point? We're leaving ourselves. So when is this? I just heard the sound study as a reason to move forward and a satisfying bit of information. When is the sound study going to be done? Is that a question for Dennis? Or when are we?
No.
And is it going to be in time to get it into the RFP if we decide there's issues? So otherwise, what's the point?
Well, I think the point is that you're going to have a qualification of the data that's there, and the RFP doesn't have to be written with respect to the results of the sound study. It has to be written with respect to what you're anticipating is an acceptable level of sound. And what the sound study will give you is whether or not that what we're currently using out there, what they're currently doing, is an acceptable level of sound.
What's that? It's currently an acceptable level?
I didn't say that. Oh. What the sound study would give you.
But if we've already entered a contract and we didn't require through the RFP that they have these wheels or figure out a way to get this sound down, what is the point of the sound study if it's not in time to mandate that the company gets the sound down? You know what I mean? If we already entered the contract and the sound study comes back and says we have a problem, what was the point of the sound study?
Well, you would know you would have a problem. That's the first. Let me finish because I think you're misunderstanding how you write RFPs. And in my sense, I would write the RFP to try to make sure that they achieve a level of sound. What the sound study does is will document whether or not it's being achieved in terms of what's currently out there now. So we're not trying to say this is what the solution is. You're basically saying, This is the sound level that we believe is appropriate and should, and you will need to meet that if you're going to win this RFP.
So I asked you in a meeting a couple of weeks ago, could an RFP be written that requires whoever bids on this to use these rails for as long as we allow it, use all four wheels the way some of these other companies do, whether you want to call it the polycarbonate or the urethane coated? You said yes, we could. So I did understand that part of the RFP. And my point is, if you're not going to put that into the RFP, having the sound study done in time could get us to the point where we feel comfortable putting that into the RFP and feeling it's necessary.
Let me just say this, Joe. So I think you're giving them one answer only by putting that in the RFP that way. By giving them the sound level that we want to achieve, if they come up with some technology that does the same thing, why do we care if it accomplishes the same goal?
So if the rubber works?
We've had
5 years to see if the rubber works.
If the meteorite, that strikes the ground tomorrow and gives us this miracle product and it works, why do we care?
I've been up there.
Okay.
If any of the legislators would like to go up there and see what's happened in the past, watch the videos that
they've
made.
Look at the rubber.
All right.
It hasn't worked.
I'm also, just so we know going forward, I'm going to ask for postponement on this anyway. So if comments are, you know, germane tonight, fine, but I'm going to ask for postponement on this anyway. So Legislator Kelly, you're up next.
Thank you very much. So I noticed in 7.1 of the contract that there are a substantial number of changes that will improve and increase the concern of the citizens there. And the last thing that I'll say is, like, you know, it's not restricted to polybicarbonate wheels or rubberized application. It says to the rails of fabric tunnels, acoustic venting, etc., which means that whatever solution we find as a result of the study that will improve the noise reduction is what we should be asking them to do, right? And so I think that there's a lot of areas of concern have been addressed in this contract, right? And, you know, that's our job, is to make sure that the residents, if they bring us concerns, that our job is to put it in the contracts and make sure that the person who we're giving this contract to adheres to those, right? It's that simple. It's in the contract. It's there. And, you know, our job to enforce it.
Legislator Nolan?
Oh, thank you. The legislator lists.
He was after you, but...
Thank you. Just want to point out that the company is also proposing not to come across Route 28 into the neighborhood where these neighbors live after 6:30 at all. And that there's a way that they can do that and still have a good ride. And the neighbors are objecting to that as well. So it seems that it's very difficult to offer something that is accepted, even when it actually is no entrance of this attraction into the neighborhood where there's a concern. I'd be interested to hear about the reasons for requesting a postponement.
Chair, I would just like to point out real quick that the neighbors are here. It's just poor etiquette to put words in people's mouth that are sitting here and then not allow them. Maybe they don't think that that's a proper representation of what they've said.
Legislative Woods.
No, I was just going to say, from an engineering standpoint, we do noise studies all the time, especially when we expand highways or whatever. And the purpose of the noise study is to look at the existing level of sound that's out there now and determine what the acceptable level is, what you're looking for. And the reasonable man standard, there are decibel levels by which are acceptable or aggravating or you can lose your hearing at certain decibel levels. So I think the purpose of the sound study is to determine what's out there now. And instead of dictating what material to use or what application to use, you set what level of sound is acceptable. You put that in the contract, and however they achieve it technology changes every single day. There might be a better way to do it, and these polycarbon wheels might not be the best solution. So instead of dictating a solution, dictate what you want to achieve, and that would be a decibel level.
It's very common for the government, on a county level, to be landlords in this way, especially to an area where a business can make quite a bit of money, and we're only going to award it to one unique business. So it's kind of apples and oranges to compare, you know, to an expansion of a highway system or something. I think we probably could go out there, research, and find out what the best way, what we're most comfortable with. We're going to award it to one company, do our homework, talk to other municipalities and governments that have already been through this. I happen to think that if we had that approach, we'd probably come up with these wheels. That being said, if there's other ways to achieve it, first of all, if it's going to be some kind of high-tech sound fencing, are we going to take that off there? Are they going to supply that themselves? Or are we going to allow them, from a letter from Brendan Masterson, or now that it looks like we've put it into the new contract, that they can deduct? Are we going to be specific about what they can deduct?
It is specific in the contract.
It's specific. And
it says no more than $5,000.
But I mean, about what kinds of things they can do. Is it fencing to get sound down, to achieve the sound? Are we going to allow? So we're essentially going to pay for that. I mean, on an already modest contract, should that be specific in there if it's not? Secondly, if they do violate what we, when the sound study comes in, and we say, you know what, just from the quality of life standard, especially knowing that there is possibly ways to get this sound out, but we say, you are over it, your rubber didn't work. Who is checking that they're following through? And what happens when is that written into the contract? Not that I really saw that there's some kind of cease and desist order until the sound comes down. Is Brendan Masterson out there figuring that out? Or are we just going to go, oh, it's in the contract, they're going to do it, boom, and here we go. We already know, we already have concerns because of the last couple of contracts and some of these things that don't seem to be transparent or, I really don't know how you just do that with a letter, add the ability to start deducting money where we're just giving them money back. So there is issues with this contract and specifics. And what is the enforceability of this sound study that we still have? When is it coming? Have we ordered it yet? Or when do we plan on ordering it once this is approved? Can I get some specifics? The devil's in the details.
I was going to make a motion to postpone until next week, but other people look like they want to talk again.
Quite honestly, I think we've talked that for tonight. I think there's a lot of questions, and that's part of the reason why I want to postpone this.
Okay.
Legislator Maloney does bring up some points. I would like to know, and maybe either through Zach or Dennis, if you can find out, does the township have their own decibel level requirements at the property line? I know most towns do, so if we can know what that is as well.
The difficulty here is it's linear, and the property's not wide. That's the difficulty. And it's a former existing use in the railroad, and the railroad, they have some rights to be there as a railroad.
Okay.
But that was a...
Is that a motion?
No. I move we postpone this until next week.
Second? I'll second. Okay. In favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, thank you. 675.
Can we do 674 as well, out of order?
You want to do it? All right, we'll do that first. 674, replenishing tax stabilization reserve. Can I have a motion?
I'll move for discussion.
I'll second.
Tracy.
I'll start.
This is yours.
I'll second.
Second. Discussion?
Hold on. What number are we on?
Tax stabilization, Tracy.
Oh, okay. Tax stabilization. Yes, so. 42. Sorry.
Number 42,
674. 674. Number 42. Okay, so I've spoken to some members about this when we talked about the unrestricted unallocated fund balance. And I think everyone's heard that I am going to be bringing forward an amendment to the fund balance policy, but that won't be until the new year. In advance of that, I am bringing forward increasing the amount of tax stabilization. These numbers were arrived at by the amount by which the tax burden to property owners was proposed to go down, in addition to the amount of reserve that was used to balance the budget. That's how we got to this number. I think it's just prudent financially to put money into a restricted reserve. Rather, we have a very flush unrestricted reserve at this moment. I will also, I just want to say, it's not exactly on this before I open the floor, I will also be bringing forward a true capital reserve fund, working with the executive's office on what that's going to look like. What we currently have is not a capital reserve fund in the strictest sense, which is a restricted fund created and allowed for under general municipal law. So we're just looking at the best way to do that and how much to allocate to that. But that'll come forward as well. But again, looking to put some restrictions on our undesignated, unrestricted fund balance at the moment.
Mr. Rock?
Thanks. I respectfully disagree with, putting more money into the tax stabilization fund. I understand the utility behind putting something in a restricted fund. I think that the restrictions on tax stabilization use are too great to make it useful to the county. The last time that we actually had a reason to use the fund was for COVID-related items, you know, in the 2021 budget. And I remember it was, it, you know, it turned into a political football about whether to use it or not. And, you know, I feel like there's a lot of ways that we can ensure that these funds are put aside for, you know, stabilization of taxes and things of that nature without putting all of the legal restrictions on use of the funds. I can't, so after watching us try to use tax stabilization once, I can't possibly agree to put it back in there.
Thank you. So, I, you know, I respect the minority leader, and I have a difference of opinion on this. And I have to say, I've come a long way on tax stabilization. When it was first proposed, I think it was only Legislator Cahill and I that were there at the time. By then Executive Hine, I was very skeptical about it because of the restrictions. You know, I respectfully disagree that it became a political football in 20. I was one of the people who voted against using it. At the time that it was proposed, it was for unanticipated expenses. It was prior to the point that we would have needed it to balance the budget, strictly speaking, and tax stabilization. While allowable for unanticipated expenses, I thought it was premature, and in the end, that was accurate. That was the right move. We didn't need to expend it, and we ended up replenishing it. You know, I think that there's no legislator, when faced with a significant tax increase to the public, that wouldn't vote to use this. Mm-hmm. And I really think that we're in a position right now to protect it. I'm not really so sure what other methods there are to restrict for tax stabilization. And I know you mean it not as the technical term of the fund, but to restrict for tax stabilization in a way that actually restricts the funds. Like, we can designate the funds, but they remain unrestricted. And so I think that this is prudent, and I'd be the first to vote for it, for expending the money that we set aside should we face an anticipated tax increase to the public.
Legislator Cahill.
Thank you. So although taxes to the taxpayers have gone down in the last few years, the budget keeps increasing, right? And so we are flush with cash, and the last few years have been very good as it goes to sales tax and the revenue that we've achieved from that. But I just have to be a little conservative here and think that that's not always going to be the case, right? And so that day where we really need a tax stabilization fund is going to come, and we're going to have a resource to go in there and say, all right, what are our choices here? A 15% tax increase or dip into the tax stabilization fund. And for me, that's a no-brainer. We have enough money now that we can do this and protect the taxpayers down the road. And for me, that's enough. That's just enough right there. I would need no other, explanation other than that. Because we've been here when we had to do that, and it was not pretty and it was not fun.
Thanks. I don't disagree whatsoever with what Legislator Cahill just said in that, you know, I think that as a county we're vastly overspending. One thing that County Executive High and I used to talk about quite a bit when he was here is that, you know, we're one legislature, with a spending problem away from bankrupting the county. Every 2 years we're that close to having financial problems we can't dig out of. That having been said, I don't think it's as easy, and if I remember correctly, it's not as easy as, we've spent too much money, so we have a 15% tax increase coming, but we have this tax stabilization fund, so we can use that instead.
I don't think so. The executive has to make a recommendation.
Yeah, and there's a formula to it to be able to use it, too, though.
That's thank you.
Mm-hmm. The same one.
And when that happens, what do we get?
a couple of months reprieve, and then we're down Schitt's Creek without a plan. But if we really want to do, I mean, we're talking about for the taxpayer, for the benefit of the taxpayer. The reason we have this money is because we overtaxed. Give it back.
Assessed tax revenue.
Give it back. When we're flush with money, when we have more sales tax than we think we're going to have, all that means is we underestimated, so we overtaxed. Give the money back and let the people of this county decide how to invest and get ready for that tough times coming. Give them, it's their money. Let them have it, and they can get ready for the future. It's going to give us a little bit of time, something like that. And I think those times are coming quicker than most people I talk to, and those dire times. And this will give us a quick breather, and then what? And then we'll look back on all those budgets. Talk about being conservative. If you want to be a conservative legislator, then stop approving budgets that create 50 to 100 jobs every year and grow the budget the way it has. Look at where it's gone. And here we are up here really talking about this little thing that is not going to protect anybody for any length of time. We haven't done our job. We haven't been conservative enough for real. And we've overtaxed our tax base and taken money out of their pockets that they could have prepared for the future with. That's how I feel. I don't like this. Give the money back to the people. Put it back on the tax rolls.
That's there, Nolan.
I just want to point out that income tax levels in Ulster County were stable or went down during the period that the prior legislator was referencing, and other sources of income went up. So,
point of information, we don't have an income tax. I believe that the legislator is speaking to property taxes.
Property taxes, sorry.
Fieldwork.
Misspoke.
Yeah, thanks. So I don't think that the idea of a tax stabilization fund is a remedy for taxes overall. It's exactly what we wanted to do, is to stabilize one budget or maybe multiple budgets so we don't have massive tax increases, right? So I don't think it's a solution to a larger problem. I think it's exactly what it is, a Band-Aid, right? For a short-term solution for a problem. That's what it is. There's going to be the year when we're not going to get the 60% overestimate for sales tax. We're going to get the year where we're 20% underestimate by no fault of our own, right? Just like this increase was by nothing that anybody could have anticipated, because it happened around the whole state, right? So we're not unique in that we way over underestimated sales tax revenue and just got this big, huge windfall based on our budgeting. It's really because people spent a lot more money, right? And so there's that, right? You know. So I am fine with this.
Deputy Kelly.
Thank you. So just for some historical context on revenues, on the property tax side, the levies remain flat or decreasing for 12 years, and that's through multiple administrations, both actual and interim. So the levy has remained flat or slightly decreasing over that time period. In terms of sales tax revenues, in 2020, the budgeted number was $128.5 million. We lost 2 months of revenue. Essentially, we were down 55% in April and May. So we went off a fiscal cliff. And with all of the federal aid that came through and all of the different incentives to individuals to spend, we buoyed. And very quickly, right around August, September, when we started to get those numbers in, you saw this increase back up. So where we thought we were off a cliff, we started to float back up. In the end, we ended up almost spot on to the 128.5, despite all of the chaos that happened in 2020. Fast forward to 2021, if you looked at any of the financial consultants, or if you look at any of the Fed reports, or literally anybody that was looking at a COVID economy, they were predicting a 4 to 6 year impact on state and local governments. So we were all expecting that our revenues were going to stay flat or continue declining because we were in a pandemic. So when there's constant questioning about the revenue projections, we were going off of what everybody else in the country was going off of, not understanding what the impact of a $4.5 trillion federal aid was going to do to the economy. They didn't know how we were going to react. So then all of a sudden we start to go up almost exponentially on our sales tax revenue. The same time period, remember, the property tax levy has been flat or declining. So we haven't been taxing people at a higher rate. We have experienced a benefit from extraordinary federal aid flooding the market in the trillions of dollars. And in order to trend line this out, we are going to need more experience to say, is 160 our new reality? Is 155 our new reality? Because before that, we were at 128.5 and trending up. If you smoothed out the last decade or so, about 4% or so every year was, you know, sometimes it was 6, sometimes it was 2, depending on what was happening, but you could actually form a trend line. When you go from 128.5 and jump all the way up, you don't have a normal experience anymore, so predicting that is hard. We are in an extraordinary financial position. What the tax stabilization, what is being proposed to put in there, based on the current levy, represents about an 8% or so increase in the levy. So that's your buffer. It's not a night, it's not a day, it's not a week. It's about an 8% increase in your overall tax levy that this account would be protecting us from in the event that we would access it. On top of that, you still have a significant amount of excess fund balance. So it's not like it all goes away. You still have other amounts that we would certainly like to see invested, or to Minority Leader Ronk's point, looking at other areas to restrict the funds, like capital. We think that that's a really wise use of funds because our capital needs will only increase over time. But I just wanted to add some of the context to the numbers, the revenues. It's not as easy as saying last year was this, next year's that. We're still dealing with the trickle-down of inflation that's benefiting sales tax collection. When your spend is high and your prices are up 9.1% for some time period, that actually trickles back in through sales tax. So it's not a normal time for projections. We're trying, but no one's quite gotten it right during this time. Over the next 4 years, we should be able to develop trend lines again. Thank you.
Thanks. I mean, I think quite to the opposite of what Legislator Bartel said. I've actually come around on the other side of this. I think that I was more in favor of creating tax stabilization in the beginning than Tracy was, and now I'm on the other side of it when she's in favor of putting more in. So it's a strange world that we live in here sometimes. But you know, given the volatility that Deputy Executive Kelly just talked about, that's almost a reason for me not to lock up a bunch of money into something that we can use for 5 things when it's already in a fund that we could use for anything that we need to. You know, I have a little bit more faith in the legislature, I think, than others do, and which is why I don't want to lock it up in a fund that we can only use for these 5 things under very certain circumstances that have to do with state-issued formulas and the county executive being on board and other things. I think we're locking money away that the legislature could decide to use for things that we need or for tough times that then the executive could block us from doing by not telling us to use it.
Yeah, I just also wanted to mention that our analysts have recommended that we do this on more than one occasion, including this year. And they also brought up the example of several downstate counties, which ones, but that essentially have a formula in place similar to what Deputy Majority Leader Uchitel was proposing with the formulation going into a housing fund, but they're in their formulations, the excess sales tax revenue automatically goes into a tax stabilization fund. And I can get back to you, I want to say, you know, it was one of the Long Island counties, I want to say at least. So we're talking about a much different level of budget for sure. But
just a little different. Their sheriff's department has, I think, 2 helicopters, and they've got $1 billion budget.
Yeah. We definitely
We're getting there, as Joe would say.
We definitely have switched. We definitely have switched places on this issue, but I still think it's prudent. You know, it's again, I'm looking forward to the conversation about what we do with the rest of the unrestricted fund balance, because
we'll spend it.
Right, but in terms of faith in the legislature, which I share faith in the legislature, the question is, how do we comply with our own policy in terms of right now it's undesignated but unallocated, but it really should be unrestricted because we have an excess amount of funds there. So I think this is just a protection that I think is prudent. It is a more conservative approach, but I think we should move forward with this.
I'm afraid to say something right now because I'm afraid somebody's going to jump in afterwards. So, but I'm going to say it anyway because I just want to be on the record with this. I agree with doing this, and actually, while I disagreed with taking the money the last time, it was a timing issue for me. I felt like we could have waited until the new year to see how things actually played out, which would have been proven right. But exactly what this fund was meant to do is for catastrophic events. There's going to be another COVID. There already sort of is right now with this triple-demic, but there's going to be another pandemic at some point or some other cataclysmic event that's going to really cause us to potentially really have to use this fund. And the problem is, as you said, Legislator Ronk, the former executive said, we're one legislature away from spending the reserve fund. So this, to me, is a protected fund that I don't have to worry about. It's there, and there's only limited uses that it can be there and actually be taken out for. So I'm fully in favor of doing this. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed. Opposed.
Thank you. All right. 675. Mindy.
You want to block 675 and 77 together?
Sure. Second.
I'll second the block.
Okay, discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. All right, on the block.
You know what? I'll just, I'll be quiet unless somebody else is going to say something. That's
the GOC resolutions, the late resolutions.
All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Thank you.
Yep, that was easy.
It hasn't even gone.
Chairman, I gotta get the road.
Have fun.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, we got only Democrats. Let's go. Start spending some money.
No doubt.
Ken, what time? Was it a Thursday meeting?
Yeah, having fun. Well, you guys want that helicopter?
Did you get to the bottom of that with the
what meeting?
Thursday's laws and rules. Did we determine what time?
5:30.
So you were good with just previous?
Yeah.
All right, back onto the agenda. Resolution number 11, requesting enactment of Senate and Assembly bill for the relation to hotel motel tax. I'm going to ask for a motion to postpone the amount.
So moved.
Second.
I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
400, amending the 2022 budget to establish to fund the Agricultural Crisis Relief Program. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
I'll second. Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Are we?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you guys sense hesitation. I mean, yeah. Where is everyone at with this? I mean, I'm okay with holding it if we need more detail.
I just don't know why we're doing this for 2022 because we're not going to spend any money in 2022. Yeah. This is for 2022.
Correct. All right, we need to postpone and we probably are going to need to.
I'll make a motion to postpone a month.
Everybody else?
Yes. We'll work on that.
Second.
Yes, I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried.
That was 1 week?
1 week.
Okay.
Resolution 486, the IS policy. I have a motion to postpone 1 month. Second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Resolution 547, approve exercise contract rates anticipated to increase above 50,000 for plug-in station online. Can I have a motion?
I'll second.
Sorry. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 615, authorizing the chair of legislature to enter an agreement with Soil and Water Conservation District. Can I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Second?
Second.
Sorry. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 616, authorizing the chair of legislature.
Wait. Hold on. I'm sorry. Can we reconsider? Withdraw my motion a second. Just can we discuss this one? So, I have to back
up.
It was our committee.
It was at your committee. Yeah. So, okay. At economic development, this
there was approval of this, but I had said that at Ways and Means I was just going to discuss, so I'm going to ask for a postponement for 1 week, but that I was going to discuss amending the language to require I don't know that that came back coming off of economic development. So amending the language to require an external audit be done. We learned in economic development that they hadn't done an external audit in a number of years, probably since Ken and I were on the board. So I just want to make that amendment.
So postponing for 1 week or more?
1 week is fine.
I don't know if anybody made that amendment at any time. I didn't. I mean, we didn't see in our meeting, but I thought someone was going to do it in between, right?
Yes, I think so. But I feel like a lot has happened in between.
We had the price change, but that was all.
The price change, but they didn't put the amendment in for the audits. Actually, we should do that because we're going to hold them to that, right? Yeah.
All right, okay. Second to postpone.
Postpone it for a week, yeah. Second. We'll do that.
I just want to clarify. I had this question and didn't follow up on it. I believe there was an external audit. The executive director answered that question and said no, but both legislator Litz and I remember that we have it budgeted each year, so I'm not sure that
typically
amendment
done in
is necessary. Yeah.
Can you confirm that? Because I think, I spoke to the executive director, I spoke to the executive director separately, and he had said to me prior to that meeting that it hadn't been done in years.
That's what he said, multiple years.
When I was on the board, I remember getting results of an external audit. That was just 4 years ago. So
well, then we
let's
should
find
be,
out.
We
it,
should
it
be
should
able
be,
to get them
it
then.
It should be
yeah.
annual.
Either way, if they have it in there, then we'll just put a line in there, say, you know, provide an annual result of your annual audit, right, if they're doing it.
Yeah, I mean, I think also... It needs to be an annual practice. Again, now we have the Commissioner of Finance here. We have had this back and forth about whether or not it's a component unit. If it were a component unit, there would be no discussion. And honestly, it's best practice. It's best practice for you all as officers. It's best practice for the organization. It's a relatively small cost for an organization that's moving so much money. So there's a part of me that doesn't want to have to do it in the resolution, but I really think we're at the point now where our funding needs to be contingent upon that happening as a regular practice at the level of the organization. And I think everyone ultimately will be happy that it's done.
Yeah, just write the language and let's do it. I just don't want to hold up the...
No, just 1 week, and I apologize for not making sure that was done sooner again. I feel like I've lived a lifetime in the last 6 days or something. So, yeah.
All right. All those in favor of the postponement?
Aye.
Aye. All right. 616, authorizing the chair of the legislature to execute an agreement with Cornell Cooperative. Can I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Second?
I'll second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. 617, 2023 appropriation for library programs. Can I have a motion?
I'll make.
Second?
Discussion? Do we have the amendment for the the addition? Okay, good. Thank you. Yep. Okay, good. Thank you.
That's the language software.
Yes.
Yeah, language software.
Very exciting. And we're expecting to see the other presentation in your...
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. 624, approving the work order for the Dormitory Authority of New York. Can I have a motion?
623 we did, right?
We already did 623. Yes, second? Say again.
Second. A second, yep, sorry.
Question. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
626, approving the work order with Dormitory Authority of the State of New York. Have a motion?
Make a motion.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 628, approving the work order with Dormitory Authority, Capital Project Number 483. Have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Okay. Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 630, South Asian Capital Project.
I'll move it.
Second.
I'll second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 635, authorizing the chair legislature to execute an agreement with New York State Department of Environmental Conservation. Can I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
A second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
So carried. 636, amended 2023-2028 capital improvement program for UCAD solar installation. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 638, establishing capital project 53, the hall records solar project.
I'll move it.
Second.
I'll second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
641, amending the 2023-2028 the project number 649 and 652. Got a motion?
I'll move it.
Second?
I'll second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 643, authorizing right-of-way acquisition for properties in 299 and County of Paulson Carter. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second?
I'll second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 644, amending the 2023-2028 cap and firm program for project 647. Can I have a motion?
Move it.
Second?
I'll second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 646, approving excuse for a contract for $166,000 for Mid-Hudson Construction Management. Can I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. 647, approving excuse for a contract for $229,388 for Samsara Inc. Can I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Second?
I'll second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Can someone just tell me what this is so I can get up to speed? I'm just trying to get it.
Samsara, I've never heard that before. So Public Works had that last night?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't remember.
Oh, sorry.
Can you scroll through?
What number are we on?
647. Okay, I just got here. Hardware, software, maintenance. Oh, fleet management. Okay.
Oh, fleet management software.
That's fleet management.
Yeah, okay.
All right. 648, approved excuse for contract amendment for $21,700.
Did we vote on it?
We did. Yeah, afterwards. Can I have a motion?
I'll
second.
Make a motion.
I actually did.
Hold on,
just 47.
All those in favor, 647?
All right.
Opposed? 648, motion by Legislator Cale, second by Chair Bartels, Legislator Mahoney.
What is this? Where is this? Is this a prefab building of some sort?
This is at the college, and this is the one of the doors in Vanderland Hall, and it has a big overarching entranceway, so it's a big job to do, but it hasn't been redone in decades, so this is the funding to do it. It's
what if it's at the college, why
is it
DASNY? No, it's not at the college.
Because it would be a DASNY project, right?
It's repair to all the overhead doors, it looks like.
I think it's
to
a contract.
Central Auto, yeah. Jail Warehouse, Public Safety, Commercial Management.
They're coming
in. It would be DASNY projects that we already...
Yeah, no, no problem.
Sorry.
So
I thought this was the one.
It's just 21,000. You're saying it's multiple garage doors?
No, 21,000 increase.
It looks like it might be a maintenance contract.
Yeah, $69,000 was the prior approved amount. This is an amendment for $21,720 for a total of $90,000.
As needed repair services.
Yeah.
For
it's
all
an
our
operator, it's a new build.
No, it's for
repairs.
All our overhead doors as needed repairs, which are, it looks like, I mean, there's 40, 50, 60, 70, I mean, 90 doors maybe on a fast glance, or over 100
so
doors.
So what did they come across they needed more money for? What might be?
I think I can follow up with the commissioner.
Is it a whole nother door?
No, it's not a door.
Locations.
It's okay. As needed repairs to our existing doors.
I was just wondering, it's a very specific amount, 21,720.
Yeah.
I was just wondering what the...
I can follow up with the commissioner.
Well,
get you guys a list if there is one.
Okay. Postpone for 1 week.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. All right. 649, approving extra contract amendment for $37,420 for Eastern Heating and Cooling. Can I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
I'll second. Eastern Heating.
All those in favor?
Be good.
Opposed? So carried. 650, approving the execution of contract amendment for $20,845.96 for Gotham Refining Chemical. Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second. Second. Discussion. All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. 652, amend the 2023 budget to create three positions for BJA fiscal year 2022. Can I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
I'll second.
Discussion.
I'm just confirming. So this is, these
jail.
Positions are through a grant program, that's what it says. Yes?
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 653, approving issues from contract amendment for $56,948.08 for Black Creek Integrated Systems. The motion?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Sorry, I keep forgetting.
Only three of us here.
Discussion, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 654, approving issues from a contract for rates anticipated to exceed $50,000 for Aramark Correctional Services.
I'll move it for discussion.
Second.
I'll second for discussion.
So I'm gonna Aramark, this is the group contract. Yeah, so I'm gonna ask that we postpone it a week. I mean, I've long been on record with like a protest. No, I would move this to the floor if I had to, but if we can wait the week to be voted on by the full committee. I want to just acknowledge the work that the chair of the committee and the sheriff are doing to get us to a place where maybe we're not in such a giant contract with a giant food service provider. I really look forward to that day where we're not in a place where we have to approve something, because obviously we need to provide food for people in our care. But I hope we get to that place where we can provide better food.
I'll just say, you know, the sheriff's team has done an incredible job on parsing through all of this and working to get the contract here. Like, every single point that we've been talking about in all these meetings is addressed in this contract. It is more expensive per mm-hmm. meal, but there are reasons for that. So while it wouldn't be my intention that you postpone it, I would say, you know, use the week to learn about the contract and talk to the folks from the from the sheriff's office, because a lot of the questions we've been asking are answered here.
That's great, thank you. And I will definitely do that.
What's that, Molly?
Yeah, I keep getting asked when I run into people, what is this contract? What are we? I thought we were entering into a new contract. When does this begin? I mean, the food is unedible. For the officers and it's supposed to be better for the. I mean, I think the food should just be edible. The idea that you have better food and it wasn't. We obviously, just because we're told it's better, you have to look into it. But we got to get the group out of there that's in there and get some real food in here. It's like.
Is that a motion to postpone?
Well, it will be. Yeah.
Okay.
We're pretty closer in the transition.
Yeah.
I missed that.
My understanding is just the timeline is going to be the beginning of February is the cutover.
It's a cutover.
Yeah, and so there is going to be some, hopefully this can get signed this month, and then Aramark is going to be changing. There's a couple things that they're changing, but one I think that's significant is the staff dining hall is going to be totally set up in a different format, so it's more like a deli. So that is like work that they need to come in and do next month.
Yeah.
So, if I may just, and we don't have to, I will call and talk to myself, the sheriff's office, and of you in between now and next week. But just because Legislator Maloney's comment made it sound like we're changing, this is the same provider.
No,
we're
this is new. This is Trinity's
provider.
Out.
Yeah. Trinity's out.
Aramark is in.
And how long this contract is going to be? For how many years?
I don't know what that off the top of my head.
I think it's three with two extensions.
Three with two extensions, okay.
Yeah. And they're in Dutchess right now, I think, right? And they're pretty happy with them.
Okay.
And we actually had them.
We had them.
Yeah, we had them in the past before we talked about Trinity to save money.
And that staff dining hall means now when you get stuck on a double, which is so often, you go down there and actually have something real to eat. You know, I hear stories, what's for breakfast for the... You know, they'll have sausage and peppers for the COs all three meals during the day. So if you're stuck in a double and you're there in the morning, your option is, and it's terrible food to begin with, god-awful sausage and peppers. And that's what you got if you want to eat. We have to do better by both, by the individuals that are living there and the ones that are being paid to live there, basically, two out of three, you know, a couple of days a week for 16 hours.
All right, motion to postpone 1 week.
Make more.
Second.
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 655, approving the issue of contract for $51,136 for Motorola. Can I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
So carried. 656, another contract for Motorola for $69,981. Can I
make a motion?
Second.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So 657, approving execution of contract $74,500 for escrow tech.
I'll make a motion.
Second?
I'll second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. 658, approving execution of contract $50,000 for legal services in Hudson Valley. Can I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
A second?
I'll second.
Chairman Coase, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 659, movement, amending the 2023 county budget to create full-time family court assistant public defender position. Can I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
Second. Discussion?
I have a question. So, and I threw you to the chair. Is this position, is this, how is this being funded? Is this county funds or is this?
Which resolution are we on here?
This is the Iowa fund.
Yeah, this is, I believe this is the
it's a distribution through the Office of Indigent Legal Services, so it'll be fully paid for by the state.
And,
yeah.
And sunsetted, or if
yeah, I mean, this is essentially the distributions and the Hurl Herring settlement funds have essentially become formula funding based on the size of your county, so there is no anticipation since the state's under an order.
Okay.
To provide equitable coverage representation for clients.
And the reason that we're seeing it now rather than it actually being...
There's a backstory.
Budget.
So we were in a shared services and still are a shared service agreement with Dutchess County for a conflict defender on both the family court and the criminal side. The criminal side is going well, but on the family court side in both Ulster and Dutchess, the conflict defender would be their first option if a public defender can't represent. Then it goes to an 18B panel who would represent in the event of the conflict. The 18B panels are basically there. So they went from, in Ulster County, Judge Savona said, from 24 at one point to about 8. And the only reason the 8 are hanging on is out of just pure loyalty to the system, to the judges that they've been serving. So Dutchess, same boat, had to pull their conflict defender back. So we've lost access to that. So this position becomes somebody for the family court, full-time devoted to being a public defender in that space for them to relieve. There's going to be more from this, and I talked about this in the committee, is this is not the end, and we're trying to work through maybe even state budget requests in order to continue to support family court, because it really is a crisis in representation right now.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
So the pool of private lawyers that are there when there's a conflict, so they can't have a public defender represent them.
Yeah.
This is going to replace that.
So this is going to replace the conflict defender that was currently servicing Judge Savona and others in the family court
side.
Which
is that list of private?
No, the private becomes when there's, if the conflict or person can't do the case, if the conflict person is conflicted out, then it goes to the 18B panel. And that 18B panel is already overwhelmed.
I'm for that. I've had a lot of complaints about the quality of representation that this 18B, certain lawyers on the 18B panel are providing at times. And I would much rather figure out a way to get...
So the broader challenge right now on both the criminal and the family court side with 18B is the rates. So there's a state mandated rate of $75 per hour for representation in terms of representing clients or getting qualified attorneys. To your point, it's non-existent at this point. You're only holding on to who's left. There was in one part in New York City, there was a lawsuit and a settlement where they doubled the rate to $150, but that hasn't been brought statewide yet. There was also part of the state budget last year, there was a proposal to increase the rate to $150, which obviously would double our budget in terms of that, but it's kind of necessary to address the crisis. There's nobody signing up for this. There's no fringe. There's no benefit to it.
Yeah.
$75 an hour, you're tracking your own time, you're doing all this other stuff, and in family court, you're dealing with custody issues and all kinds of really hard, nasty things, and people are not walking out of law school and signing up because they can make money elsewhere. So I would expect that this is going to be an issue again. Indigent Legal Services hasn't been told to jump fully into family court yet, the way that they had on the criminal side. But I know there's a willingness, it's just whether the state gets behind funding.
And the state will audit to make sure that these lawyers aren't overcharging the state, but no one's really...
They charge us.
Yeah.
It goes direct, the bills go directly to us on the
ATV. And the state, I think, audits to make sure they're not...
Sure.
They're not charging OSC more hours will than audit, they're working, yes. But nobody is making sure that these individuals that are the least of us are getting actually good legal representation, because I've gotten phone calls where the gentleman, guy didn't show up again today. This is holding me out. So, you know, I haven't been able to see my kids because I got to get this straightened out, you know, and now he wasn't there again. So,
okay. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So carried. 660, authorizing the chair legislature to enter into agreement with New York State Office of Indian and Legal Services. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 662, authorizing an intermunicipal agreement with the New York State Office of Information Technology and the County of Ulster.
I'll move it.
Second?
I'll second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 663, approving the execution of contract amendment for 66,376 for Navient Inc. Can I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Second?
I'll second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? 664, approving the execution of contract for $539,314.48 for Granicus. LLC. Can I have a motion?
Granicus.
Motion, Legislative Gale? Second?
Yes.
Second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
So carried. 666, approving the execution of a contract for $1,100,339 for HRI. Can I have a motion? Second?
666, all right.
I'll do it.
That's why I look directly at you, Lester. Yeah.
So, Legislator Petit mentioned a question regarding, were Legislator Petit's questions answered regarding 666? I only remember
sure.
Because 666 is a memorable number.
The health committee I sent them over.
Oh, and the health committee hasn't met yet.
Well, no, we have, oh, wait.
Went through health.
It did go through health. We met last week and we did have questions.
Hell?
Yeah.
I don't know if Dr. Smith followed up with Legislator Petit yet on this. I know it was sent over. So
I haven't seen anything for the health committee yet.
Okay.
So I still have those same questions.
Postpone and then
postpone.
I'll re-follow up with them to make sure the questions
yes,
are answered.
I'll postpone.
Second. Actually, I can't second to postpone.
I'll second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 670, amending the 2023 county budget to accept increases across the living for mental health. Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
I'll second. Okay.
Discussion? All those in favor? Opposed? So carried.
Can I?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Can I just ask? So was 666 was passed, just out of curiosity, just procedurally, was passed out of health with questions to this committee?
Yeah, we're accepting
revenue.
You know, revenue, and we had questions about who's overseeing it, so we don't want to forego accepting it, of course.
No, and that's okay. I just want to understand. Thank you.
All right. 670, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. 671, approving the execution of a contract for $70,000 for Nicholas Kamen. Can I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
Those discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 672, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $12,615 exceeding $50,000 for Family Woodstock. Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second?
I'll second.
Gale, discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. 673, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $7,906.34. Closing the contract to receive $50,000 for Family Woodstock. Can I have a motion? Second.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? So carried. Some forthcoming resolutions on the agenda. The Comptroller's Office. Alicia.
So, Comptroller Gallagher couldn't be here tonight, and she wanted to extend her gratitude for passing our budget and the amount that we have approved recently. She also wanted to point out that we have a legislative survey that we're including in our risk assessment this year. It's basically just a place you guys can identify areas you'd like us to look into further. So, we appreciate if you have any areas of concern or places you'd like us to look to include those in the survey. You can all hear the calendar notice on your Outlook calendar, and if you have the finance, we talked about earlier revenues. sales tax revenues continue to be strong. We're at $141 million of $143 budgeted for this year, and that's just through October, so we still have November and December payments coming in. We're at 8.3% increase overall, and I think that our recent payments have been strong, so I think we're in a good spot for the 2023 budget. Occupancy tax again remains strong. We're at 102% of the budget for the year. We've received most of the Airbnb payments. We'll have December Airbnb payments coming in and quarterly filings, but I think we're going to exceed that budget significantly. We're at, you know, close to $3 million already out of $2.8 budgeted. And the last item is that we have our third quarter report for 2022. We're finalizing that. It's coming to you soon. The takeaway from that is the same I've just gone over, which is, you know, we've had very high revenues, and I think we're looking at another surplus for this year. Things stay where we're at, 20 to 25 million easily for the end of the year. So again, your consideration of reserves and what you want to do with your fund balance will continue. And there'll be an opioid settlement fund snapshot that's coming out. I don't know if you guys are aware of the opioid settlement funds that we're getting and are expecting going forward. We'll have a short two-page report on that coming out to give you some information on what we can expect and what we've received so far. That's it.
Thank you.
The $3.2 million that we're at for the occupancy tax currently, what period is that? Was that collected from?
So what we've got so far is all of Airbnb collections, which is the bulk of our collections through November.
Right.
So we'll have 1 month of Airbnb collections still to come, and the quarterly filings, which does include some of your larger hotels. So there's a substantial amount of revenue there. I think we're, you know, our budget for 2023 is $3.35 million. I think we'll exceed that in actuals for 2022.
So we have like 75% of our hotel motel, traditional hotel motels in, and 11/12 of our Airbnb in.
Yes.
Okay, thank
you.
All right. I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
So moved.
All's in favor?
Right.
Good job, John.
Get through it.
Yeah.